John Busby with the Culture Buzz, and joining me again, and I say again with great delight, is John Putch. He is an independent filmmaker, and he's now become like, we're going to have to do one of those specially embroidered chairs for the Wild Rose Film Festival for you, John, just because we're coming back now. You have finally completed the trilogy for Route 30, and the website, by the way, folks, is Route 30 Trilogy. Route30Trilogy.com. You can find out more about the latest installment of the trilogy, the tail end of the trilogy, and the other two are available there for more information. But we are tickled to know that later this year, you're going to be back here in Des Moines, Iowa, to share with us your passion for the whole independent filmmaking process. Not just the process, though, because you've kind of taken that next big step where you say, you know, this is my baby, so I'm going to take it out to the world myself, aren't you?
Yeah, and boy, I can't tell you how delightful it's been once I took control of the distribution of these films. You know, they mean so much to me anyway; they're personal to begin with. But to hand them off to a crook sales agent who basically sells his territories and tells you, yeah, we're still in the red. You won't see any money for 7 years. To not have that happen this time around, the last two times around, has been delightful, and it's just been it tickles me just like making the movie. Now distributing it is as much fun as making the movie, and I'm really happy to come back to the Wild Rose Film Festival because you guys, or the Wild Rose, has shown the film, all three of the movies, and there aren't many places that have programmed all three, and I'm hoping to visit all of them, but it starts with the Wild Rose.
Well, it's going to be an honor and a pleasure, and we will roll out the Iowa red carpet, which will probably be made of corn silks. So
that sounds good.
But that'll be fun. Let's talk some background here. Folks, by the way, if you want to find out more about this artist and his California Hollywood background, you can just look up John Putch and find out all the IMDb stuff and things like that. But we're talking about kind of the fire that's in his belly, the stuff that really gets him going. And one of the things that, as you become familiar with the Route 30 trilogy, you're going to find out, you know, why a person, and this is, I'm going to kind of let you fill in as much as you want to, why someone who has got such a solid career out in California would go to Pennsylvania to do these independent films.
Well, I'm, you know, that's where I'm from. That's my hometown.
That's my softball to you. Smack it out of the park, John.
Yeah, no, yeah. Well, you know, you got to go to your hometown because it's more fun there, and people want you to come there, and you know everybody. And not only that, you know, I'm tired of movies and TV set in major cities, and they don't interest me. I'm tired of looking at the same stinking buildings from a helicopter shot in between scenes, and I'm tired of watching policemen and doctors and SWAT teams and you know, mediums and, you know, all these things that take place in the city. I'm just sick of them. So I happily look where television and movies don't look, and that is the country, the mountains, and the people. And that's why I go there, but mainly because it's beautiful. I mean,
yes.
Whether, you know, I want to shoot a movie in Michigan, I want to shoot a movie in Iowa, because Iowa's been very good to me, and they seem to like my stuff. So I want to do that. I want to jump around the country and do more things. And they will always be set in rural areas because they're just better looking. They're just more interesting, you know.
There's an honesty there that's always fun to connect with, and the family connection. I mean, I have a personal understanding because, you know, I've had some accomplishments in my career, and if I ever think that I'm getting a little too full of myself, I'll go to a family gathering, and all of a sudden I become little Johnny. And I remember when you tipped over the hay wagon filled with bales of hay. I can't tip that over, but I got blamed for it. So, you know, there's
right.
But at the same time, all of that other stuff doesn't matter. You're back home.
Yeah.
And that's the sense I get from what you do.
It's where you run to, where you don't have to deal with people's egos, really. And that's what happens in my day job out in California. It's it's a tremendous explosion of egos, and you basically 90% of your job is handling them all.
Now, I don't know if anyone listening here will go to the premiere. There may not be time. I will mention it now because even though I'm going to be running this interview past the premiere, but I'm going to air it at least once before the premiere, and I'm mentioning this for a special reason. You are holding this premiere in a very special kind of your own personal mecca.
You mean of Route 33?
Yes.
Yeah, I'm going back to Gettysburg, Pennsylvania, which is the sister town to Chambersburg, where I was born. And these movies, these three films, have taken place on the stretch of Route 30 between these two little burgs. And Gettysburg and Chambersburg, historically, have been delighted to see the movies that their areas have been featured in. And we're taking it back to Gettysburg on August 2nd and 3rd, and we're having a big world premiere, and a bunch of the cast are coming, and I'll be there, and we're going to, you know, show the movie and then do a Q&A for everybody and then sign some DVDs and, you know, and visit with everybody and say, hey. So it's sort of like, it's real fun. The town comes out, and they love seeing these movies, and they love seeing us, and I get a chance to show it to people who actually do want to see it. You know, that's the best part of when you show it, you know, put it up where people care about it, you'll have a lovely experience. Try to jam it into, you know, Chicago, New York, or L.A. where nobody gives a crap. You know, there'll be crickets. So why bother? So I go to Pennsylvania to distribute these movies. And believe it or not, that's all I need.
And the movies themselves, the content, kind of the richness of the movies is derived from that hometown area. These people identify, they identify with the film and the locations and the action, and you've captured it in a very wonderful kind of way.
Well, thank you. Yeah, they love it. They think, you know, and they think that I made the movie for them, and in many cases I have, because when I was a kid making Super 8 movies, I wasn't making them for the general public. I was making them to show to my parents and my parents' friends and my friends in school who came over for dinner parties and, you know, wanted to, you know, and I shared Super 8 movies with them. And they were comedies as well. So here I am doing basically the same thing 50 years later, or 40 years later, where I'm going basically to the living room of South Central Pennsylvania, and I'm showing it to people who are kind of my friends, really, you know, albeit the whole town, you know.
Even though you have the Route 30 name threaded through the trilogy, each is very much a standalone piece, isn't it? How does the storyline kind of wrap up in this final installment?
Yeah, it's true. You don't have to have seen one to enjoy any one of the others, but their through line is the highway and is the geography of that area, and some of the characters travel between the movies. And this one, I kind of wanted to get back to the heart of part one and some of the absurdity of part two. So it's sort of a nice finishing blend of those two things. And I did get to explain a few things, like why a certain character behaved this way in the last two movies, and, you know, why, you know, a lot of why questions are answered. And some new ones are broached. It's fun. It's still a comedy, but it's got a lot of romance in it, and it's got a lot. It has a little more weight to it, I guess. It's a little smarter, is what I'm trying to say, John. I tried to get a little smarter here with the third one, it's still entertaining. You know,
you keep going to school, even if it's creativity school. You're going to keep learning things, I guess.
Right. Right.
John Putch is my guest. He is the independent filmmaker responsible, wonderfully so, for the Route 30 Trilogy. Go to Route 30 Trilogy, Route30Trilogy.com. You can find out about all three of these films. The latest one is available, and I'm not breaking anything big here, except it's going to be huge in Des Moines. John, it's going to be one of our featured films and attendees, hopefully, at the Wild Rose this year. Stay tuned for information there, but... It's I have this picture, you know, while you're slaving away out there in the Hollywood market, making your scratch out there, every so often you had these times where you could kind of slip into a different world and start crafting the last few pieces for Route 33.
Yeah.
Was that the development process, kind of like this was your oasis, your escape?
Absolutely. I call these movies my mental health films because I'm directing television and movies for entities, you know, conglomerates and corporations is fine. It's really it's a wonderful profession, and I worked with many skilled people, and they're all friendly and everything's nice about it, but these aren't my stories. I am really just like the cameraman and the prop man and the rest of them. You know, I am kind of hired to perform duties for someone else, and that's the way it's set up in out here, especially in television. So when you are a guy like me who likes to write and direct and produce and edit his own stuff, you know, that isn't going to happen, you know, in my day job. So I look to these movies for that outlet and that creative, you know, control and, you know, the stimulation that it gives me by creating something. Like if you were a woodworker and you needed to, you know, but during the day you were a security guard or you worked at the bowling alley, you would still always want to be making a table or a chair or something on the weekend or in the evening. It's the same exact thing. If you like to work with your hands, it's the same analogy. What I do with my hands is hand make these movies. So I need that. And yes, I look in between the coal mining job that I have, I look to, you know, making something that I'll enjoy creating. So I just happen to be doing it with film.
Well, let's talk a little bit about the production team that you assemble for these things. You don't just kind of go down a shopping list, say, well, I need one of these, I need one of these. I get the impression that this is very much a kindred spirit type venture. And I want to ask you this question. Some of these friends of yours may not have ever been to your hometown area. Because they're kindred spirits, I have a feeling I know the answer to this question, but how was their response to going to your home?
Well, it was interesting because in the first movie, it was a shock to everybody because we were out in, you know, in that area of Pennsylvania is very rural. I mean, it's mountains. It's like West Virginia mountains. I mean, you're in the middle of, you know, there are bears and hikers and, you know, it was a shock to a lot of people who'd never even been to that part of the country. And then they saw, you know, they saw the little town and the people in the town, and they at first they were like, wow, this is remote. And then, you know, they started interacting with the folks in Chambersburg and Gettysburg and were quite pleased with how friendly everybody was. And then, you know, and then the second and third time back, I mean, it was hilarious. Everybody had their own favorite places to go, and everybody, you know, everybody wanted to go to this restaurant or that bar, or, you know, hey, let's eat it, blah, 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 tonight. Oh, we got to go get a hoagie over at this place. And they pretty much, now it's like people go there all the time. It's no big deal. So, yeah, the you know, I had to convince them all to show up, and, you know, that's the hard part. But sometimes getting out of town for a low-stress job or a little movie is a fun thing. And that's my goal, is to make them all low-stress. And I have to be a host and not a boss. And you can never treat it like a job or work. And that's part of my whole digital rules that I created. And so far, no, you know, nobody has said, I'm never coming back here again, John. They just say, when are we going back? So.
Well, you've created a fantastic environment, and you've created two great movies that I've seen so far. I can't wait for the third one. It's kind of like one of those bated breath type moments that it's going to be great fun. We're going to create an event just for us to do the official, you know, pre-screening set for The Wild Rose. We're going to have a blast.
Of course. Well, I need to send you guys a DVD. I realize I now can do that because I have them.
Perfect.
So
perfect.
Yeah.
Well, and the other thing that I wanted to remind folks of who maybe have heard our previous conversations, but you, of course, must use about a dozen grip trucks to, you know, to do the production in this film, don't you, John?
Yeah, right. You really know me. No, if it doesn't fit in my Ford Edge and the cameraman's SUV, it is not allowed to be used on the movie. And that is the end of it. I want to do a movie with no lights next time. I mean, of course, no cameraman in his right mind would jump on board for that, but I just think it would be great not to have less equipment to see if you could do it. You know,
One of the many things I appreciate about what you have been doing here is that you are very dedicated to traveling to a number of film festivals across the country and using that as the primary medium to get the word out about your films. Mm-hmm. And in doing so, of course, that's where you connect with the filmmakers who are right there on the ground, the grassroots filmmakers who don't, they have to rely on their wit and ingenuity and what modest resources they have. And you are showing, this is why I did the flippant joke about the 10 grip trucks. This is why there is such inspiration to be gained from what you are doing, because this is so completely separate from your other work that you do, that this is something I think a filmmaker can wrap her or his brain around and say, you know, I can do it. John Putch has showed me how to do it. And you do workshops on this, don't you?
Yeah. I talk about this in my seminar workshop about how what people who don't live and make films in L.A., are constantly led to believe that you have to be there to do it, or you have to use all this stuff that they use to make your film viable or professional. And I'm the guy that's going, you don't. You need as little as possible, and you need a good cheap camera, and you need a script and some actors, and that's all you need. And nowadays, you shouldn't have more than that, in my opinion. But people are constantly concerned, and they've been told, oh, no, you can't make your movie with that video camera you bought at Best Buy last Christmas. Well, yeah, you know what? You can. You just have to have good sound and figure out how to make it look good. But there's so much, you know, the tools today are so cheap and so good, and now the lowest form of HD on television and in films is called HD. It's 1920 by 1080. And back when the first Star Wars movie in the second batch, the second three that Lucas made, that is exactly the same resolution that the Star Wars film was made with. And it was revolutionary. And that was only like 10 years ago, 15 years ago. Now you've got cameras that cost you $3,000 or less. You put them on a tripod and you get the same exact quality that George Lucas had on, you know, whatever the name of that first, second, you know, run of trilogy of the Star Wars movies. So now there's no excuse, and no one can say, oh, yeah, you need this, you need that, and the other thing. And the other thing is people don't realize that, you know, what they have in their backyard is probably the most original thing that they'll ever have in a movie. You don't sit down and write a movie out of thin air. You look around and see what you have at your disposal, and then you create a story which takes advantage of what you have that nobody else does. And it's sort of like it's completely opposite of what everyone's taught in screenwriting school. They say you start with an idea and this is how you fashion it. In my school, I look around, I say, okay, I'm going to go to Des Moines, I'm going to spend a weekend there, and I'm going to look around and see what it is there that makes me, you know, think about things, or I find a great location. I go, holy crap, I got to shoot here, you know? And you find that, then all of a sudden, bang, stories start flying into your head, and you go, oh, this is going to be great. So reverse engineer your script and utilize the resources you have at your disposal, and you will have a way more original movie than, you know, your cop drama you spent 5 years writing that took you toiled over because you thought you had to make a movie that, you know, is what you're used to seeing.
Well,
soapbox rant over.
I love it, though. But yep. There seems to be a creative opportunity because there is this endless supply of stories out there waiting just to be seen, discovered, and crafted. And that's really what you're saying is, open your eyes to the world around you. connect these dots, because now you're going to be shooting technically with the same kind of stuff that George Lucas was shooting on back then. And you don't need a 7, 8, 9-figure budget. In fact, that's one of the things you hammer at people is you keep it well under $100,000. That's what you have to do.
Yeah. People make movies for less than I make, that's for sure. I know people who make them for like $5,000, and I don't know how they do it, but they're great. I just try to keep mine under 100 because that's a figure I'm comfortable with, and I know what I can get out of that amount. You know, I can get, you know, I can get to travel somewhere. I can get a few better, you know, I can get some more creature comforts or whatever it may be. But
an extra round at the local tavern.
Exactly. Exactly. Let's get our priorities straight.
That's right. John
Putsch.
When you
make a movie, you need to be able to eat well, and you need to have a beer every now and then.
Exactly. It's the end
of
the shoot.
Not work too long.
That's right. The sun has gone down. We don't have enough lights. We have to stop shooting today, folks.
That's another great reason not to have lights on your movie.
Gosh.
You can only shoot in the daylight.
You are a genius before your time, John Putsch. You are a genius before your time.
I tell people, you know, the vampire movie will never work under my digital rules because there's too much. It's all night. It'll never work. So,
John,
horror movies doesn't work.
John Putsch, independent filmmaker, an extraordinarily gifted filmmaker and an inspirational filmmaker, willing to encourage anyone who really wants to take that plunge to make that plunge. Be curious, be enthralled, be entertained. Go to Route30Trilogy.com, Route30Trilogy.com. You now can get the full set, the full Monty, as it were, and definitely mark the Wild Rose on your calendar for 2014 this November, because John Putsch will be here, and we will be screening Route 33, and he will be talking about his film. It's going to be great fun.
Yes. The official DVD release date of Part 3 is August 4th, because I have to world premiere it first, just so you know. But you can get the first two movies, and then, of course, in less than a month, you can get the third one.
Let him salivate for a few weeks, John. Oh, Let him salivate. Thank you so much for your time, and looking forward to seeing you again in Des Moines.
You too, and thanks so much. I always appreciate coming on the show. Thanks.
Bye-bye.
Bye.